Today, what I'll probably have here for you is maybe more of a Bible study than a sermon. But it seems like this time of year, when we're heading into the Passover season, we get all sorts of questions and answers that we don't want, and people have various ideas. One of the first ones that always comes up, and that is, do we celebrate Passover on the 14th or on the 15th? And as you probably know, the Jews usually celebrate it on the 15th. But let's turn to the first time it's mentioned, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And I want to go through these because I think maybe some people have questions, and we have to be certain that we get the groundwork right and make certain that we understand the reason that we're trying to follow in the footsteps of Yahshua and keep the Passover. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, beginning there at the first verse, it says, "And Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you." So here we are told that the year begins. The special year that Yahweh has begins in the spring. It doesn't begin in January. It begins in the spring when everything's coming back to life. And when the grass is turning green, the leaves are budding out on the trees, and all life is beginning anew. And this is a good time for us that we also follow and rededicate our lives in the things that we should be doing as well. So here we find it's the beginning of the month, the first of the year to you. Verse 3, they're told by Yahweh to speak unto the children, a congregation of Israel, saying, "In the 10th day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too small or too little for the lamb, then he is to let his neighbor next to him join him, and take it according to the number of souls." Generally, I think the Jews pretty much settled on the number 10 for each lamb. If a family had only three or four, they joined with the next door neighbor who had maybe had six or so, and that way they would get together and share the lamb. But notice it says, "You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb in the evening." I want to stop there a minute. That word evening, if you have a Bible with notes in it, it'll probably read something like "between the evenings." And in the Hebrew, that word is actually ben ha arbayim. Bain is between, ha is the, and arbayim is evenings. Now, the Jews have taken this and made it to fit what they've been trying to do all the time, and that is to keep Passover beginning on the fourth, on the day of the 14th, but also that they would keep it in the afternoon. What is interesting that I've noticed in more and more Bible dictionaries, that it says that in the time of Yahshua the Messiah, there were two Passover days kept back to back. And kind of take you on a little trip here. I want you to notice why I say that, because the Jews even today keep it differently than they did back there at the time of Yahshua the Messiah. In a way, because the Pharisees were growing in the ascendancy, but those that kept the Passover, according to the Sadducees, they didn't have any problem with it. But I want you to turn, hold your thumb here to the book of Exodus. We'll come back. But I want you to turn over to the 18th chapter of John. And in the 18th chapter of John, you'll remember that in the 13th chapter of John is where they're keeping the Passover. The 14th, 15th, 16th chapters are the ones where they're the disciples are going with Yahshua, walking out toward the garden. The 17th chapter is Yahshua's prayer. Somebody talks to you about the so-called Lord's Prayer. It's John 17. That's the prayer that he gave to the Heavenly Father. He poured out his soul to the Heavenly Father. And it's the same as in Psalm 22, practically. Almost describes the same thing. Only the Psalm 22 is in more depth than the 17th chapter of John. But anyway, let's move on. As we move on to the 18th chapter, he's talking again and gets into the garden, and you find there that Simon Peter shows up. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but let's see. Let's move on down here to the 25th verse. Simon Peter was standing there warming, and it was night, of course. It was cold. And they said therefore unto him, Are you not the one of his disciples? And Peter denied it. One of his servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, the kinsman whose ear Peter had cut off earlier, said, Didn't I see you in the garden with him? And Peter denied again immediately, and the cock crew after his third denial. But now notice verse 28. It says, And they led Yahshua from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not in into judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So the people there had not partaken of the Passover. However, Yahshua had already taken it with the disciples back there in the 13th chapter, five chapters earlier. My point is, there were two Passovers there, and which Passover do you think was kept at the right time? The one the Jews kept or the one that Yahshua kept? Well, you know it's the one that Yahshua kept. So he kept it on the 14th. The Jews, even in those days, were keeping it on the 15th. Well, I want to get back again to this interesting comment here about the Passover and when it's supposed to be held. And as a matter of fact, I have some information here I want to share with you a little bit later. But first of all, there's the, let's see here if I can get my notes together here. I'm scattered all over. Anyway, let's go from here over to the, I better finish up here while we're in Exodus 12. We'll clarify a few things here. In Exodus 12 and verse 6, it says they were to keep this lamb up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly, it means, were to kill their lambs in the evening, between the evenings. And that word Ben HaArbayim means from sunset until dark, total darkness. In other words, they say there are two settings of this night, or every night, when the sun sets and when total darkness sets in. And that's about an hour, sometimes a little shorter, depending upon if it's summer or winter. So they do have time there. And I believe that we can prove that the Ben HaArbayim cannot be at noon like some of the people like to have you believe. And they say what that really means is when the sun is in its highest peak and in the zenith, when it starts to move down toward the setting west, then it moves down, and that's what the Ben HaArbayim means. It doesn't mean that at all. Well, I want to finish this up a little bit more here. Verse 7 says, You shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upper door of the houses where you shall eat, and they shall eat the flesh in that night with the fire and unleavened bread, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Don't eat of it raw or boiled, sodden with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinences thereof. What they had to do, you see, was take this lamb and then open the lamb up, take out the intestines, the stomach and so on, and empty it out, strip it all out. I think I might have mentioned before there was a man back in Pennsylvania that didn't do that. He took the whole lamb, put it on a spit, and was baking or roasting it, and the thing exploded, blew all over the place, because the methane gas had built up in the chewed grass, and it was, of course, mixed with saliva and so on of the little lamb. And it built up and blew apart. So they have to clean it all out, and then they put it back into the cavity. But the killing of the lamb has to be done by the individual offerer. A lot of people don't understand that. I think they take it on to the temple, and they give it to the priest, and the priest kills it and skins it and does all that. He doesn't do that. All he does is inspect it to make sure this lamb is pure and holy and not blemished in any way, no broken legs, no scars, no nothing. Once he inspects it and says, okay, this is suitable, this is a pure lamb, and it's the way it should be. So then the offerer takes his knife, and with one stroke, he cuts its throat. And then the Levite, or whoever's doing the officiating there, we'll come to that a little later, actually takes the lamb and skins it. In fact, the Bible calls it flaying it, F-L-A-Y. It means to skin it. Because if you burn that lamb with the hair and the fur on it, it would actually rather smell. Burnt hair does smell. So anyway, I want to clear up a few of these things because some people don't really understand that. But anyway, they're to take this lamb then and eat it all that night. It's in verse 10. Now, you have to think about this. They've taken a lamb, a little lamb, a year old, and they tip it in the house on the tent till the 14th. The lamb's jumping around. Little kids are playing with it, and it's jumping around and hopping here and there. And it got to be a regular family pet after about 3 or 4 days. And so now it's baked. It's roasted. It's nothing but a piece of black charcoal. And the kids are said, now eat that. Eat it. He said, yeah, but it was a lamb. I played with it yesterday, and now it's like, yeah, I can't eat that. And I'd say, well, eat it. But that's what they were told to do. It was hard to do, to eat that broken piece of meat that was charcoal, black practically. But notice, they were not to have anything of it left until morning. Now that means that actually they were to do away with it as best they could, and anything that was left they had to burn. They weren't supposed to keep any of it for a souvenir. They weren't supposed to pack it up in their blinds. They weren't supposed to do anything but burn it all up, bones and all. Burn it all. And that's what they were to do in verse 10. But also they were not to go out of their house that night. They had to stay in the house because the destroying angel was about. And if they went outside the protection of the blood on the door and lintel, they'd have a problem. But notice verse 11 says they're to eat it with their loins girded and shoes on their feet and so on. Well, we don't do that anymore. They were to eat it in haste because we're not anymore in Egypt. And now we don't have to worry about the destroying angel coming in. Yahshua's already paid the price. But notice here as we move on down, Yahweh says, this is Yahweh's Passover in verse 11. Then he says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Well, what night is that? Well, so far the only day they've talked about here is the 14th. The 14th in verse 6. 15th hasn't been mentioned. He's going to come over that very night, the night of the 14th. Now, supposing they say, well, we're going to kill it like the Jews do and kill it on the daylight part of the 14th, and then we'll eat it on the 15th. Well, by that time, they wouldn't be around because the destroying angel had been through and killed all the firstborn, and they weren't ready. They weren't prepared for it, so they didn't make it. But people want to do this. They want to do like the Jews do. In fact, I have a friend that I'm disappointed in. He admits that he keeps Passover on the wrong day. So then, I know the Bible says the 14th, but I always keep it on the 15th, because that's when the Jews do it. And if the Jews are condemned, well, I guess I am too. Well, is that the way we're supposed to do, is be a model for the world? In fact, the Jews themselves admit that when they first began, well, I'll get to that in a minute, but the Jews admit that Passover and days of unleavened bread are now merged together since they came back from Babylon. They keep them together. They didn't used to do that before they went to Babylon. But they went to Babylon and got educated in the Babylonian ways, and they came back and did everything different. I said, that's true. Well, here, let's get back down here. We're in Exodus 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Like I said, if you ever want to look up in the Encyclopedia Britannica or Judaica, it says the feast of Passover consists of two parts, the Passover ceremony and the feast of the unleavened bread. Originally, both parts existed separately, but at the beginning of the exile, when they went to Babylon, they were combined. And so the Judaica, Volume 13, Article on the Passover, page 169, that's what it says. Now, as we move on down here, when we get to verse 14, this is still referring to the Passover. And it says the Passover should be kept as you would keep a feast day. Although the Passover is not a hog. It's another day. It's one that is separate from the feast. It's not a holy day. And he says, you shall keep it as a feast throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Then it talks about the beginning with the 15th verse and the fifth and the day of the 15th. It talks about the eating of unleavened bread for 7 days, beginning with the 15th. But I don't want to get into that because I want to stay with Passover. Let's go over to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. In Leviticus 23, we have here the feast days, all of them mentioned here. And in, we should begin, I guess, with the beginning of the book of Leviticus. Yahweh spoke to Moses, and he said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be convocations, even these are my feasts. The word convocation, you know, is a Latin word. Con means together. Voco is to call. You have vocal cords, vocal, so on. It's a calling together of Yahweh's people. And verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. And that word there, Sabbath, is number 7676. By the way, I almost forgot to mention this. We were told last night that there was barley, green barley, in Israel. They've already gotten some. Now, it's been a concern of a lot of people that there wouldn't be any barley because of the drought we've had in Israel. And the rains and so on. And we were told that they already have the barley all ready to be cut and bring back a sheaf of it back to this country. Well, let's go over here to the fourth verse. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which you proclaim as holy convocations, a gathering together of Yahweh's people and their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month is Yahweh's Passover. In the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So which day is the Passover? The 15th? Bible doesn't say that, does it? In five places it specifically says the 14th is the Passover, the 15th is the feast. So what do the Jews do? They say, well, we know that. We kill the Passover on the 14th and eat it on the 15th. So anyway, 15th was supposed to be having more than a shank bone on the plate trying to celebrate the 15th. But anyway, notice it says in verse 6, the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you should eat unleavened bread. Beginning with that day and 6 days more you eat unleavened bread. Let's go over here, and I don't want to get into all these all the time, but verse 7, you have a first day, you have a holy convocation. That comes after the day of the Passover. And then, let's see. Well, I better not get into this now. I'm going to talk about getting into the counting for Pentecost. Let's go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 9. Numbers is important because it kind of summarizes the wanderings of the Israelites for 40 years. And here's what happened in chapter 9. Beginning there with the first verse, it says, Yahweh again spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year. Again, it was a year later after they left Egypt. And Yahweh said, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Well, the problem was, what could they do if they couldn't keep it the first month? And Yahweh says a little later, tells them how to do it. But I want you to notice in verse 3, it says very plainly, in the 14th day of this month at even. Again, that word is ben ha arbayim, between the evenings, after the sun has set and before total darkness. You shall keep it in his appointed season. And it says, according to all the rites thereof, according to all the ceremonies thereof. Does that allow you to kill the Passover and eat it on the next day? No, it says everything pertaining to the Passover, do it on the 14th. Everything. All the rites. All the ceremonies. Don't hold anything for the next day. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel and so on, told them about this. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month between the evenings, in verse 5. And that's how Yahweh commanded them there. And then if they weren't able to keep the Passover, verse 10 goes into the keeping of the second Passover. It says, if any of your people or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or has something to do with a journey, he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh in the 14th day of the second month. So Passover is again on the 14th. And so we find there then that they keep it just the same way. As we move on down here, I want to just, I want to go into a couple more. Let's go over to the chapter 28 of Numbers. And here again, we get into a little bit more about the Passover. Move on down there to, in the book of Numbers, to verse 16. And here again, if Yahweh says it one time, that should be enough. But when he says it like he does here about the 14th is the Passover, the 15th is the feast, it should be perfectly clear. We're to keep Passover on the 14th, everything on the 14th. Notice verse 16. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover, and in the 15th day of the month is the feast. So then we also find that as we go over to the book of, let's go over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. 2 Chronicles, of course, gives the history of Israel and how they were keeping the feast days and so on. In chapter, in the book of Chronicles, we have two wonderful examples of dedicated leaders that actually kept the feast at the right time. But we'll start here with chapter 30. And get my pages unstuck here. Chapter 30, verse 1 says, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should keep, come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, keep the Passover unto Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel. The ways of Egypt, or the ways of Israel had gone back to Egypt again, and they started to keep pagan worship. Finally, they found law. And in chapter 30 and verse 6, Hezekiah sent out letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, "You children of Israel, turn again to Yahweh, the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped in the land of the kings of Assyria." So they didn't all come back. In fact, very few came back to the land. The 10 northern tribes stayed away. But in verse 13, there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, and a very great congregation. Verse 15. Verse 14, it's important too. I should have read that. They got rid of some of the pagan ways of worship, the altars and so on. Verse 15, they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh. And they stood their place after this manner, after their manner, according to the law of Moses. The reason was, you see, they didn't get everything cleaned up in time, so now they're keeping the second Passover. Now notice in verse 17, this is back up what we just talked about. In fact, if you read the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, it says that the offerer kills the animal that he brings in as an offering. But notice here in verse 17, there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers for everyone that was not clean. So that tells us that the individual killed his own offering. A lot of people have the wrong idea. They think that was the priest's job. The priest's job was simply to inspect the animal, give his okay if it was all right. And then when they killed it, he caught the blood in a basin. And also later on, he would skin the animal. And the offerer had to take out the intestines and clean it all up, wash it out. And then they'd put it on a spit and roast it. But notice here, we have another problem that people ask about. Let's see. Verse 18 says, "For the multitude of people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah, the king, offered up a prayer. And he said, the good Yahweh, pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek Elohim, Yahweh, mighty one of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." And verse 20 says, Yahweh heard Hezekiah's prayer. I want you to notice something else. Verse 21. "And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast." What is interesting here is that they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised Yahweh day by day. And they did it with loud music, loud instruments. Verse 22, "Hezekiah spake comfortably unto the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Yahweh. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh, the mighty one of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and kept other 7 days with gladness." But notice, they didn't keep Passover over again, just 7 more days. The reason I mention that, because some people will say, you aren't keeping this right, because what you do, you have Passover and you eat unleavened bread with the fruit of the vine, and then beginning the next day you have 7 more days. So you have 8 days where you're eating unleavened bread. What about the people in Hezekiah's time? They had 15 days of unleavened bread. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. They were just rejoicing about having 7 more days of unleavened bread to worship Yahweh and so on. Let's go over to, as long as we're in 2 Chronicles 35. This is another one under Josiah. We had Hezekiah. Here we have the one under Hezekiah. And let's see. Verse 1. Josiah kept the Passover unto Yahweh in Jerusalem, and he killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges to encourage them through the service of the house of Yahweh. And he said to the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto Yahweh, put the ark and so on, which Solomon had and so on. You'll notice here, in fact, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but Josiah kept the Passover even greater than the one that Hezekiah had. Each one does better than the previous one. Notice verse 11, 2 Chronicles 35:11. They killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites skinned them, flayed them. So the Levites did the skinning of the animals. I want you to go over to the book of Ezra. Ezra, chapter 6. And you'll find here again that when you read the scripture with an open mind and try to understand what we're supposed to be doing here, you can't help but think that we actually are to keep Passover on the 14th. Everything. After 2 Chronicles comes Ezra and Nehemiah. And then we notice in verse 19 of chapter 6 of Ezra, it says, the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. So they did it right. And notice, to make sure that we understand that Passover is separate from the days of unleavened bread, skip down to verse 22. After the Passover, it says in verse 22, and they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days, separate from Passover. Okay, let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. I want to make sure we went through this so that we have a good idea of what we're getting into in the Passover and don't have any questions and doubts and wondering, you know, what are we supposed to be doing now and so on. In chapter 16, if you'll turn there, you'll notice that, first of all, the old Passover was kept in the homes, wasn't it? Was kept in the homes, and the whoever was in the house put blood on the lintel and also on the doorpost. And probably there was blood on the ground too when he had killed the animal. Some of it spilled there. So when he went into the house, he was covered by the blood of the lamb. Now notice here in chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, it says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim. Then he says that, in the month of Abib, Yahweh your Elohim brought you forth out of Egypt by night. So, just briefly, we didn't go through the book of Exodus, but you know this, that the Passover was kept at sunset. They already had the pit dug, and all they had to do was get the lamb ready, and that didn't take very long. Put the spit there on this trench that they dug with the live coals already in it, because they knew beforehand what they had to do. It wouldn't take them very long to get that lamb all ready to put on the spit, because from about 6 o'clock until midnight they had to have eaten that Passover lamb, or at least part of it, because the destroying angel came over at midnight. And if they didn't see the blood on the door, well, Yahweh wouldn't allow the destroying angel to come in and kill the firstborn. Okay, notice here in chapter 16, they were to verse 2. They left Egypt by night. Well, I should just pursue this a little further. The next morning when they got up, they probably didn't sleep all night, because the whole night, as you might think, with the destroying angel going through and killing off all the Egyptians and all the firstborn, It wasn't a peaceful night. A lot of screaming and hollering, and it was a painful death that they had. It wasn't just dying in their sleep. How else do you suppose that Pharaoh was awake in the middle of the night and called for Moses? Come on, stop this before we're all going to die off the way it's going now. People were dying right and left. Every house had animals in it probably, and the firstborn dying off. And that really scared them. But that's what it took to release the Israelites. Otherwise, it'd probably still be there. If it hadn't been for some of those things, Pharaoh would have still kept them there. So that what they did, they got up in the morning, had to get their act together, take all the pieces of charcoal meat, whatever was left, take it out and burn it. They had to round up all their animals. They had a lot of animals up there in the land of Goshen. They had to get the elderly together, keep all the kids together. And if anybody has gone to the Feast of Tabernacles, you don't do that in 20 minutes. You do that ahead of time, you plan for it, and you know what you're doing, and you think you got it all together, and you still go off and forgot something. I know from experience they do that. Anyway, from there they march down to the gathering place at Ramses, it's also called. And that's where they gather together. But you have to remember, they were moving something like 2 million people. And they're moving them all down to Ramses. You don't do that in 10 to 20 minutes. Because they had to all get together, and Moses said they were all marshaled, because he was a general. He knew how to move troops. Excuse me. So he moved them all down there. And they got down to Ramses just at sunset. And then that night is when they left, because the moon was full. They could go out and they'd see what was going on. And, of course, the Egyptians were busy burying their dead, because these dead had died. It was a bright moonlight night, so they could even still go out at night and bury their dead and get the land cleaned up, because there were quite a number of dead bodies they had to get rid of. So we read here in verse 1 of chapter 16 that they left Egypt by night. And as the 15th started, then is when they started their march out of Egypt. They didn't finish until the last day when they crossed over the Red Sea. Now notice, it says here, you shall sacrifice the Passover in verse 2 to Yahweh your Elohim of the flock and the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there. And so how does he place his name today? Well, if you're baptized into Yahshua's name, it says you're sealed with his name. And if the people gather together and they find a place to gather together for Passover, that's where his name is. And the more people that get together, the more Yahweh is attentive to what's going on. Because it takes even Yahshua said, where one or two or two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So gathering together ensures Yahweh's presence. Let's take a look here again. In verse 3, it says, you shall eat no leavened bread with it, with the lamb. It had to be unleavened. And 7 days they were to eat unleavened bread therewith. The Tanakh says, for 7 days thereafter you shall eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, in a hurry, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt in the days of your life. You see, Yahweh tells us what he's going to do. He gives us an example here in the book of Exodus, telling about how he's going to free his people. And I think in the book of Revelation, you find many, many things that are the same. Where the same curses, frogs and so on, are going to be some of the same things that happened to the Egyptians. We'll see all this happen again. But Yahweh is going to redeem his people. He's not trying to save the world now. He's out to save the ones that he has called, the ones that are faithful. Out to save the ones that he has called and Yahshua has chosen. Let's move on down here. Verse 4, he says, you shall have no leavened bread seen in all your coasts 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until morning. So you shouldn't have any of that left over. Notice in verse 5, you may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which Yahweh, your Elohim, has given you. But in the place Yahweh, Elohim, shall choose to place his name, in there you shall sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, the season that you came forth out of Egypt. The reason I wanted to get into verse 6 is it has a couple things in there that we ought to be aware of. It says that he's going to place his name there. You're not to do it in your backyard. You're not to do it at home. You're not to keep Passover at home. That's what he says. But where he places his name there, he wants people to get together to celebrate the Passover. And then we're to do it in the evening at the going down of the sun. Now, that word going down in the Hebrew is bo, B-O. Other places it's translated sunset, going in of the sun. It doesn't mean leaving the zenith and starting its downward, going down at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It means the sun is already in. You can't see it. You know, it's like you had an open door, and you step outside the door, you're outside. You step back in and you're in. There's a difference. And this is what it's saying here. You can't say, well, going in, that actually means going down toward sunset. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, it's the opposite of sunrise. And sunrise means if the sun isn't up yet, it hasn't risen. It's still below the horizon. But the same thing here with that word bow. In fact, we used to do a study on that one, if I remember right. But notice here in verse 6, it says, but at the place where Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, the season that you came forth out of Egypt. Then he goes in to talk about the lamb and so on. What is interesting, I made some photocopies instead of bringing the Tanakh here, the Jewish Bible, the five volumes I have. Anyway, I want to read what it says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, you shall keep watch over the 14th day of this month, and all the assembled congregation of the Israelites shall slaughter it at twilight. That's when the sun goes down and you have the twilight. Well, what do you mean by twilight? So I had to go to the JPS, Jewish Publication Society, commentary on the Tanakh. And here it has a little thing about twilight. Here's what it says. Twilight, Hebrew is bein ha-arbayim. It's ambiguous. The translation twilight understands it's designating the period of time between sunset and nightfall, approximately 1 1/3 hours in duration. As a dual form, arbayim expresses two settings. One is sunset and the later setting. And then it follows nightfall. And then he says, Mekilta Bo, which Bo I already mentioned, presents the view of Rabbi Nathan that Bein Arbayim is the time after the sun inclines toward the west, the sixth hour of the day. How do you like that? They say what the Bible says, and they say, but this rabbi over here says that we do it the sixth hour of the day. As soon as noon is here, then we can start in thinking about it. Oh, we should go over here to Exodus 16. I'm going to show something over there. Hope you aren't bored with this. I think you have to really understand some of these things. And the more proof you have, the more you can understand that the Bible is consistent all the way through. It doesn't say the 15th is the Passover. Nowhere. The 16th is where the quails come into being. But let's see. Yahweh's already been beneficent with them. given them manna every morning. All they have to do is go out and collect it. Friday, they get twice as much. Now they're clamoring some more. This is their, you know that Israel had 10 rebellions against Yahweh after they were released or redeemed from slavery. This is number 3. You find in verse 2, the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Elohim we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. All we get is this manna. Manna. Manna, you know, means what that? What's this stuff? What that? And Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. And it'll come to pass that on the sixth day they'll prepare twice as much, and so on. So now he's got them full. And notice verse 8. He says, and this shall be when Yahweh gives you in the evening flesh to eat, that and morning bread to the full, that Yahweh hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. Who are we? Your murmurings not against us, but against Yahweh. So Moses and Aaron are told that to come near before Yahweh, he's heard your murmurings. Verse 10, it came to pass, as when Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in a cloud. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them and say, at even you shall eat flesh. Again, that word at even is ben ha arbiim. So he's telling them, you're going to have flesh in the evening. What's he going to do? Well, as you know, he brings in the quail. You shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 13, it came to pass that at even the quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And so we find there that Yahweh is providing both meat in the afternoon and also flesh. In the morning he has the manna. I don't want to go through a lot of these right here, but the interesting thing is we should go over to I think we already had that one. There's one I'm missing. I can't put my finger on it. Here's another one from the JPS commentary, and this one is a commentary on Exodus 12 and verse 6, which we just read, where it reads, you shall keep watch over it, the goat or the lamb, until the 14th day of this month, and all the assembled congregation of the Israelites shall slaughter it at twilight. Well, that's what it says in the Tanakh. So they have a note here in the commentary, and it says, at twilight. In the Hebrew, it's Bein He Ha Arbayim, literally meaning between the two evenings. And then it says, rabbinic sources take this to mean from noon onward. According to Radek, the first setting occurs when the sun passes its zenith just after noon and the shadows begin to lengthen. And the second setting is the annual or actual sunset. Josephus testifies that the Paschal lamb was slaughtered on the temple between 3 and 5 p.m. That's interesting. When did the Messiah die? 3 o'clock? He died at 3 o'clock. The Jews were so busy killing their own lambs, Passover day, when Yahshua was hanging on the tree, they didn't even notice that he was dying for their sins. And yet they killed the lambs the same time the Messiah died, from 3 to 5 p.m. Here's another one by the Tanakh, or the commentary. On the second Passover, it says at twilight in Numbers 9 and verse 2. Twilight, Hebrew, Bein HaArbayim, literally meaning between the two evenings. meaning between sunset and darkness. And then they go back and talk about what the rabbis say, what the rabbis have their own ideas. Here's another one that the commentary says. Twilight, from Numbers 28, and verse 3, or 4 it is. Hebrew, ben ha arbiim, see comment on 9:3, a term that clearly means the time between sunset and dark. This would imply that Tamid was the very last sacrifice of the day before temple doors were closed. The rabbis, however, interpret the term to mean the waning day or afternoon, which they specify as the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. So they don't pay attention to what the Bible says. What I have here is this Ben Ha Arbiim. I have 12 places that it appears in the Bible. And we just read something on the internet where it says that Ben Ha Arbiim, in fact, that source doesn't even spell Arbiim right. It's got it misspelled. It's on the internet on a page. And they say that it means noon. Ben Ha Arbiim means noon. Because one evening is one night and the other evening is the other night, so the noon part would be the middle. And that's what it means. Well, the Jews themselves admit what it means. But I want you to do this. I want you to go through here and we'll look up each time that word appears, Ben Ha Arbiim, and you tell me if that could mean noon. Let's turn to the book of, let's see, we had Exodus 12, we had 12:6, we have Exodus 16:12. Let's go to Exodus 29:39 and take a look at that use of the word Ben Ha Arbiim. Exodus 29 and verse 39. It says, well, let's start with verse 38, Exodus 29:38. Now this is that which you shall offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Verse 39, one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer between the evenings. Can you get noon out of that one? Pretty hard, isn't it? Let's go to verse 41. And the other lamb you shall offer at even, and you shall do according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering. So it's contrasting that when you first get up, when the priest first gets up, what he ought to be doing when the daylight comes, the last thing he should do at night, between the after sunset. So let's go to chapter 30. Move on down there. And let's see, I don't want to read this whole thing, but let's go on down to verse 7, talking about Aaron. Aaron is a high priest, and verse 7, Aaron says, is to burn on the ark of the sweet incense every morning on the incense altar when he dresses the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it. So he dresses the lamps in the morning, and then he burns incense. And then it says in verse 8, and when Aaron lights the lamps at even, between the evenings, after the sun has set, when it's still bright enough to do a little work for another hour or so, then he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense on there, nor burnt offerings, nor meat offering, and so on. So he's to take care of this in the evening, not at noon. Let's go to, let's see, another one. Numbers 3, we've been there. Numbers 11. Numbers 28. Did we get Numbers 28 for? No, I don't remember. Let's take a look at it. Numbers 28:4 says, One lamb you're to offer in the morning, and another you shall offer at even. And that again is Ben Ha Arbiim, at evening. Bullinger's companion note says, at even means between the evenings, between total darkness and also between between that and the sunset when the sun goes down. Well, anyway, I think we've covered them all other than that. I didn't want to miss any of them. Numbers 28:8. The other lamb you shall offer at even, between the evenings, as a meat offering, and so on in the morning. What is interesting when you get studying this thing, these things, and you look what the Bible says, and then you have commentaries like say, well, the Bible says this, but the rabbis say this, and so we do this. Because the rabbis know what they're doing, and we want to make sure we're in with the elite rabbis. I also have just something I want to read to you. If you go by the King James, sometimes you have a little problem because the King James is not always as honest as it should be. And so what I have done here is taken some of the photocopies of the various Bibles, and the Tanakh itself, the Jewish translation, says of Exodus 12:6, that they're to watch over this lamb until the 14th of this month, and all the assembled congregation of the Israelites shall slaughter it at twilight. The Jerusalem Bible says about the 12th chapter and verse 6 of Exodus. It says, you must keep it until the 14th day of the month when the whole assembly, the community of Israel, shall slaughter it at twilight. The Matha translation says, you must keep it until the 14th day of the first month when every member of the community shall kill it between sunset and dark. So Matha is clear, between sunset and dark. Also, you find that Matha's on the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. He says, you must not make your Passover sacrifice in any of the townships given you by the Eternal, your Elohim, at the sacred spot which the Eternal, your Elohim, chooses for his presence. There you shall offer the Passover sacrifice in the evening at sunset. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Moffat used the word eternal, and a lot of the sacred name, the worldwide groups continue to use eternal. And interestingly enough, in Moffat's preface, he says, almost at the last minute, he said, I was going to use Yahweh's name, but almost at the last minute, I changed my mind. I followed the leading of some French people, and I used the word eternal. But anytime you want to change that to the more correct way, substitute Yahweh where you see eternal. But he continues to use eternal. It's kind of funny, you talk to some of these people and say, well, why do you use eternal when even Moffat said his name is Yahweh? And, you know, the response you get is almost, look, I recognize his name is not G-O-D. I know that it's not that at all. But I'm using eternal. And that's certainly better than using G-O-D. And if he doesn't like that, why, that's just too bad. But that's all I'm going to do is call him eternal. I'll admit that his name is not G-O-D. But I'm going to use eternal anyway. So that's the way it is. But anyway, you'd think if they knew it was wrong, they'd say, well, I should use what's right. That's how you grow in grace and knowledge. I have one more here. The NIV says of Exodus 12 and verse 6, it says, take care of them until of the lambs until the 14th of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. There are other translations that use the word dusk instead of twilight or evening. And they translate the word Ben Harbim as dusk or twilight. But actually, I hope just what we've done here today will help confirm in your mind that Passover is the 14th and the 15th is the feast. God bless you.